I do think passages such as our gospel reading for today have become so familiar to many of us that it's maybe hard for us to receive them the way Jesus' first century Palestinian audience heard them. So I want to invite you for a minute to try to put your mind there, in the Judean countryside, in the dry sunshine and the soft breeze. You look around at the thousands who are gathered here to hear Jesus. You recognize some of your neighbors, all of them day laborers like you are, hardworking men and women who are just trying to put food on the table for their kids at the end of the day and get up tomorrow and do it all over again. You hear Jesus say first the words we heard last Sunday about a successful farmer who wants to build bigger barns to store his excess crops. And maybe your mind wanders away for a minute, thinking how it might feel to have an excess that you could store up. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to kick back even for a day? And then Jesus says, no, don't desire that. Instead, give it all away. That's a harsh word in your reality. That's maybe not what you expect to hear from the good and generous teacher who's been handing out miracles all over the country. Of course, he has been giving those away and traveling from village to village. He has never lacked for a meal or a place to lay his head. So it seems easy for him to say, do not be afraid, sell your possessions, give to the poor. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Those words maybe give you pause. They are followed by more surprising words from this teacher. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from a banquet. For truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. I want to acknowledge that this language about servants and masters can feel really uncomfortable for us right now, especially for people whose skin is darker than mine, who trace their ancestry to Africa and not to Europe, whose ancestors did not come willingly to the United States. Language about servants and masters is loaded language in our context today. I think it is very important that we acknowledge that. I also think that language resonated very differently with a first century audience, where servants had some limited autonomy. They were often paid a small stipend for their work, and many went to their own homes and their own families at the end of the workday. Nonetheless, Jesus surely surprised the people with his words, this odd role swap, where the one in charge becomes the servant of all. Imagine you folks who work now or have retired from a school district seeing the superintendent take the custodian's broom and mop and clean the floors in the evening. Or try to imagine the general manager of the Otisaga coming into the kitchen at the Hawkeye Grill, taking over the chef's station to make dinner for the servers and the dishwashers, serving them at a table in the dining room and cleaning up afterwards. Can't quite imagine it, can you? Maybe you can if you've ever watched a television show called Undercover Boss. It's been running on CBS television since 2010. I see nods. Yep, you've seen it. You know how this goes. Each week features a different large company, where a CEO disguises himself or herself and gets hired at an entry-level job for the week. It gives them insight into how policy decisions impact every level of work, and the CEO gets to meet the, well, let's put it in quotes, the real people, right? The folks whose stories matter. At the end of the week, of course, portrayed in television fashion in a single hour, the CEO reveals their identity, often recognizes stellar employees with promotions or financial rewards, sometimes offers better training opportunities or better working conditions. While the story Jesus tells sounds a little bit like an episode of Undercover Boss, what Jesus demonstrates to his followers is something more. Jesus is the one who serves those who take their place at the table of grace. Not just for a week, not just till he can resume his regular job. Jesus' service is a gift of perpetual grace. Our place at his table is not something we earn for ourselves. In the language of John Wesley, God's grace is what calls us to this table from wherever we are. Grace is what fills the gaps in the relationship with God, our gracious host, when we've been the estranged prodigal sons and daughters or their jealous siblings. Grace is what grows our hearts through this meal, so that we can make more space at the table for other brothers and sisters, the ones who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, who don't think like us. Grace enables us to rise from our seats and in turn serve others. Grace is the foundation of our relationship with God. Grace informs our table fellowship with one another. Jesus has been enacting this table fellowship founded in grace throughout his life. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a town whose name means house of bread. His mother placed him in a manger. That's a feeding trough for cows and donkeys and sheep, and shepherds were the first to surround that rudimentary table. Even in his birth, we see the workings of God's grace. In his years of ministry, Jesus dined at the homes of both friends and enemies, extending grace after grace. At Peter's home in Galilee, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, who responded to that gift of healing by serving. Jesus dined with tax collector-turned-disciple Levi, and when he did, the Pharisees maligned him for eating with sinners. And Jesus told them then his mission was all about grace. It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He ate at the home of Martha and Mary, where he made room for the women to sit beside the men in discipleship. And he supped with another tax collector, a man named Zacchaeus, a notorious extortionist who responded to Jesus' gift of grace with a changed heart and a generous spirit. Jesus dined with Pharisees too. At one such meal, he told a parable about a man who planned a great feast and invited his friends and neighbors, and one after another, they sent their excuses. So he sent his servants out to bring in those ignored by the wealthy, to bring in the poor and the sick and the beggars, those who would never expect a seat at a banquet table, who would never be able to repay such a kindness. An illustration of true grace. When the Pharisees asked why Jesus' disciples didn't fast the way John's disciples did, or even the Pharisees' disciples did, Jesus replied, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is still with them?" And when thousands gathered to hear him teach and evening approached, Jesus took bread and fish and blessed them and broke them and shared them with the crowd, and by grace, thousands were fed. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus dined one last time with his disciples. In a gesture of extravagant grace, Jesus blessed the meal and shared the bread and the cup with those he knew would desert him, including Peter, who would deny even knowing him, and Judas, who would betray him. And Luke's gospel then shows us one more meal of grace. On the evening of the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, Jesus met some of his followers as they traveled the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were sad and discouraged as they talked about the crucifixion. They didn't recognize Jesus. But he reminded them of the scriptures that predicted the Messiah must suffer before his glory could be revealed. They invited him to dine with them. And as he lifted the bread and blessed it and broke it and shared it with him, they recognized him, the risen Christ in their midst, God's gift of grace at their table, the master who serves, unexpected, and maybe even a little unbelievable. I think it's easy for us who are so familiar with these stories to lose sight of the mystery and the grace Jesus' first followers experienced in table fellowship. Toward the close of today's scripture reading, Jesus suggests he might come as a thief comes in the night at an unexpected time. A reminder that the gift of grace can still surprise us, even when we think we know how the story goes. Jesus steals into our lives, disrupting our plans, upending our expectations. Whether we stand on a Judean plain, or sit at a banquet table, or come to this table in our worship time together today, Jesus' unexpected gift of grace, of love, of reconciliation is offered to us all in the bread and in the cup. I am not the host of this table. Jesus is. The invitation to grace is his invitation. The gift of relationship restored is his gift. The spirit of love we receive and allow to lead us out is his spirit. Come, taste, see the goodness, the surprising, the unexpected goodness of our Lord. Amen.